Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Just the intimations. It's a reminder again of the fire alarm. If there is an unlikely event of there being an alarm this morning, evacuation would be straight through the two doors there and out into the front. And at the moment, the assembly point is up at the school car park. For somewhere else in the buildings, obviously there's the two fire exits at the sides there. Tea and coffee after the service in the big hall. Join us for a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, biscuit, chat. Just a time to be together after the service. And Mary's continuing to collect used stamps for the Church's World Mission Council 2019 stamp appeal. If you have any of them, you can hand them to Mary, or there's envelopes on the table in the vestibule. You can put them in there. And articles... Articles are now being accepted for the June issue of the Livingston Herald. It can be either given to Alan Kerr or emailed. The word is today. Sorry, Alan. But Catherine knows exactly what that's like. Email address is there, magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk. Kirk session meetings. Livingston, we meet together at... 7 o'clock on the first, this Wednesday, 1st of May, in the small hall. And our dears, we meet next Wednesday, 8th of May, 7 o'clock, and it'll still be in the small hall here. And a reminder, there's a prayer time available just down in the pews there from 5 past to 25 past 10. And just the idea is to meet together and to share in prayer. Just pray.
Talk to God.
I can talk to God
about anything.
About anything.
I can talk to God.
I can talk to God.
'Cause He's listening.
'Cause He's listening.
I can talk to God when I'm happy. I can talk to God when I'm sad. I can talk to God about anything, even things that make me mad. I can talk to God.
I can talk to God
about anything.
About anything.
I can talk to God.
I can talk to God.
'Cause He's listening.
'Cause He's listening.
I can talk to God when I'm happy. I can talk to God when I'm sad. I can talk to God about anything, even things that make me mad.
Most powerful Holy Spirit, come down upon us and subdue us. From heaven, where the ordinary is made glorious and glory seems but ordinary, bathe us with the brilliance of your light like dew. Amen. Let's rise if we can to sing together, to worship. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Thank you.
So good morning. He's hiding. Morning. Oh, you've got sweeties. Oh, you've got sweeties. Sorry, folks, I'm fine. Anyway, what we're going to speak about today, have a wee chat about, is we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Ross, would you put that picture up for me? And I just want to explain a bit about this picture. Some of us will recognise where it's from. There was a group of us away at a training thing with priority areas in February, and we had what was called a sort of prophetic session. So it was a group of people who'd been praying about the churches here and then had come up with some things that God had told them in prayer. And also, while we were there, one of the team of this group from Light and Life in Glasgow, actually based in Paisley, they drew this picture. And so I just thought, since this morning we're looking at the Holy Spirit, I thought this would be a good time to have a look at the picture and to say a few things of what they said it was. So, first bit, she wrote some notes on the back, was as you came in, I saw an aeroplane or a glider, two wings. And then we said we were two congregations. So she sees the two being together in the one kind of glider. You see that? You see it? You see it, yeah? Okay. So, that's it. And one of the important things it says is that the tether, the bit that, because this is a glider, there's always that bit that holds the glider to the plane. And what it is, it says, yeah, the tether has been released. So the glider's now on its own. There is nothing towing the glider. And they said, she said, God has this. And she says, it's the uplift of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, these sort of things of air, swirls of air that are there will carry us forward, the updrafts. And she said, then learn to glide, enjoy the journey. Learn to glide, enjoy the journey. Maybe that's what she put down as a wee statement underneath the names, learn to glide, enjoy the journey. Trust the process and trust that God will carry you. The tether has to be released to allow you to go higher and faster with God. And she says there at the end, peace, prayer, pioneer. So this was a picture that was drawn for us. We can see all these bits of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the words used for Holy Spirit in Hebrew is ruach, and that's breath or wind. And so we see the breath or the wind there that's keeping the glider floating, keeping it up in the air and keeping it going, keep on in the updraft. And that's very much what I understand the Holy Spirit does for us. As we learn to live more in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, that he teaches us how to trust in him and how to work with him. Because he'll keep us going, he'll keep us up. So that's just something for us to remember, and we start to look at who the Holy Spirit is later on in the service, but also in the next few weeks to come. Let's just join together in prayer. Let's pray. As we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us new life by raising Jesus from the dead. So we come with joy before you, Lord God, Almighty God, to worship and to adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forever. Father, we come as we are, wearing this frail humanity which Jesus took to wear himself. We come with our faith, and we come with our doubts. We come with our achievements, and we come with our failures. We come with our past, and we come with our potential. Forgive us, Lord, what we've done wrong or failed to do right. Help us to change by the wisdom of your word and by the power of your spirit. according to your gracious purpose for us and with us. You are greater than we can imagine, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And Father, there's no way we contain you either in all our literature, our films, our music, our art, and not even in our worship. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. And hear us, Lord, as we pray together, using the words of Jesus, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's worship again. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. Blessing for our children and those who teach. So, Heavenly Father, we ask for a blessing upon our children as they go through to learn more of you. We also ask a blessing on those who teach, Lord, that your Spirit would guide and lead them in all that teaching. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we continue now with our offering. Thank you. So just to go through our prayer points, from Adrossan Presbytery this week, it's Darai St. Margaret's Church, Marion Howie, the interim moderator and locum. Marion's also vice convener of the Vacancy Procedure Committee, which is convened by Ross Mitchell. Crossreach prayer diary today is Crossreach Counselling Lothians, counselling service for people of all ages across Edinburgh and East Lothian. And one of the first prayer points is that the service will be a place to heal, providing solace and faith at the time clients most require it. And then Path of Renewal Congregations, Terry Burns at Cromarty, Rizalis and Urg in Ross, and Catherine Buchan at Lagan, Newton Moor in Abernethy, and the mentor for both these congregations, Mike Robertson, who's in Culloden Church. We also remember all those who died last week on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka, and all those whose lives were traumatically changed by these bombings. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks today for the Christian year, for the busyness of festivals and the quiet that follows, for the rhythms of life and death, and for all whose lives have shown what it means to live in harmony with your good purpose. We give thanks for the great hymns of Holy Week and Easter that we've sung and enjoyed. May their message sustain us through ordinary days and encourage us to live with thanksgiving in our hearts. We give thanks for the wisdom of Scripture, for its wonderful variety, for its focus on your covenant purpose for your people, for its fulfillment in Christ. May your Scripture be read, loved, understood, and followed in our world today for your name's sake. Today we pray for the world and its need, for those who seek refuge from war, and for those who guide the response to such need. Pray for politicians. May they give a lead well and do their work with honesty and diligence. We pray for the sick and for those who care for them. May they live with hope. May they find care and healing. May they know they are remembered and loved. And Father, we pray that we would be a healing community, welcoming the stranger, caring for the troubled. We pray for our parishes. May the lonely find a friend. May the prosperous live with generosity. May all practice kindness. We remember our neighbours of other religions. We remember our neighbours of no religion. We remember our neighbours about whom we know little. Heavenly Father, if we have enemies, we pray for them. Pray by your Spirit, Lord, you would enable us to be forgiving. If we have absent friends or family, we ask a blessing on them. We pray for the church. May she live and grow. May she conform to the image of Christ. May the church become a shelter and a light for many peoples. Father, as we approach the General Assembly time again this May, we pray that you We guide the moderators of assembly and the moderators of presbytery, the conveners of councils and committees. And Lord, we pray for your Spirit to lead and to guide. We take a moment, Lord, to pray for those who are on our left and on the right. For those who are seated beneath us. For those who are seated above us. And for those who are in another part of the building. Father, we pray the prayers that your Spirit has installed into our mind and our hearts. Heavenly Father, present to you these our prayers, offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. We worship again. See, what a morning.
Risen from
As we turn to this time of where we dwell in the Word, just a reminder that the reading, the scripture reading this morning will be read twice, and then there'll be time for us just to sit and to pray and ask the Spirit to point out anything that there is that He wants to say to us. The scriptures will be back on the screens, and then we'll just bring that together with it. I think it's a new hymn. We'll just sit and listen to it. Sing along if you wish, Living Under the Shadow of His Wings. So the reading is from Jude, and Kay's going to read first. So listen each one to the Word of God.
Jude chapter 1, verses 17 to 25, a call to persevere. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. There are people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others from snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before the glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this reading. Pray your Spirit would be amongst us, working in each one of us, leading us, guiding us. Amen.
A call to persevere. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Find security. to heart, embracing in His love, reveals His purity, soaring in my spirit like a dove.
Father, we turn to You. I ask You now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by Your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as You intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be Your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I will be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to Your name, and I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So from the turn of the year, we've been looking at the God who is there. The first number of weeks, we looked at who God is. He's God as Father and His characteristics and how He is God, and He is God, and He is amongst us and within us and around us. And then we looked at the I Am sayings of Jesus, looking at who Jesus said that He was and is, and finishing last week on Easter Sunday with I Am the Resurrection and the Life. And now we move on to look over the next few weeks at who is the Holy Spirit. And this one, this morning, we just kind of think generally before we go into to explore in more detail the work and the meaning of God's Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of God, Father, Son, Spirit. He is of God, and sometimes referred to as the Spirit of God, and sometimes referred to as the Spirit of Jesus. But all three in one in three, all three are together. They are three persons, three individuals within one, three separate within one. And in Hebrew, in Genesis 1, we come across the Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there, right at the very start, the Spirit was there with God, with the Word. As we're reminded in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. So all three were together in the beginning. And Ruach is the name used, or the word used for the Spirit here. The Hebrew word, it means breath or wind. And from Ezekiel 37, the hands of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, You alone know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So, just two examples of the Holy Spirit from Old Testament, but both speak about the same things. They speak about breath. They speak about wind. They speak about life. Who's the Holy Spirit? The Spirit brings life. And in New Testament, in John's Gospel, John 20, 19 to 23, this is a point where Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." In the Greek, the word is pneuma, breath, wind. And we see life. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is someone who brings the third person of God, part of God, who brings that life to people. And in John 14, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift from God. Jesus, with his promise of the Spirit to follow. The Spirit would come following Jesus once he had gone. He would come to remind us of the things that we had been taught, to remind and to bring life. And from John 3, that moment where Jesus is with Nicodemus and they're talking, it's that time that Nicodemus has come in the dark at night, so he can't be seen, and they have this conversation, and Jesus tells them, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Spirit is a gift from God, given to all who believe. It's a gift. He's a gift from God to all who believe. The Spirit is the third person of God. He's breath, wind, life, and he's a gift. And what the Holy Spirit does is brings us, and maybe this is the difficult bit for us sometimes, brings us into a point of the supernatural, because we're now talking about Spirit and the Spirit world. So it brings us into the supernatural. But you know, everything to do with the Holy Spirit is to do with God. And so that can only be good. But brings us into an area where sometimes we really don't want to acknowledge, for whatever reason, and there's a whole variety of reasons, but we don't want to acknowledge sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit. And we try and rationalise that out. But here's the problem. The Spirit is the third person of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we rationalise out the Holy Spirit, we are in effect denying the Holy Spirit. If we are denying the Holy Spirit, we are denying who God is. There's the problem. The Spirit brings comfort. The Spirit brings peace, but the Spirit will also bring challenge. There's something else to face. The Spirit comes as a gift to each believer. What each believer does with the Holy Spirit is what they do. It's possible to deny the Spirit. It's possible to ignore the Spirit. But actually, we lose so much. We lose so much. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we put our arms out, our hands out, and just commit ourselves to the Father through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we become a changed person. And the Spirit leads us and guides us. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a part of God which we cannot do without. We miss so much. We lose so much. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's at work in this place. I believe the Holy Spirit's at work in this town. I believe the Holy Spirit's at work in His churches here. But there's no point us ducking and not looking for Him, because that'll just bring that denial. That'll just bring that moment when we turn our back on Him and church changes for the worst. I want to go back for a moment just to that meeting I told you about when we came away with this picture. It was 2 days in Rakese Church, a church that had been closed for a couple of years. And then Glasgow Presbytery put in a church planter. And last August they had their first service for 2, maybe 3 years. It was an evening service. Well, it wasn't quite, it was a tea time service. So they met together, had food and worshipped. That was the beginning of their services. That's how they worship. But during the day, these 2 days, the end of February, there was a group of us from both congregations. They are working through how we've been directed to work through with priority areas. And on the first day, there was 3 things that came to us at the end of the first day. And it's useful just to repeat them and to speak about them for a moment. And this has everything to do with who the Holy Spirit is. But the first thing was we said we need to be Christ-centered. We need to be focused on Jesus. Who is Jesus? What is He doing? We have that focus, what He's calling us to do and how He's directing us. The other thing we talked about was an invitational theology. What does that mean? Actually, to work in a way through Scripture and an understanding of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is invitational. It's about inviting people in, welcoming people in. But it doesn't necessarily mean just on a Sunday morning, but an invitational theology, so a welcoming theology. Now that brings with it an invitational theology. If we look at Scripture and we see how Jesus does this, we suddenly realise it comes with challenge as well. Jesus said, come, follow me. Invitation. He also said, come, follow me. Challenge. Later he says, if you want to follow me, you need to pick up your cross. Challenge. So Jesus doesn't just say, come, follow me. That'll be nice and cosy. Come, follow me. But also there'll be challenge and there'll be change. And there'll be choice. And then there was words. Words of wisdom, maybe. Words spoken. And there were this. Just get on with it. Well, the group there understood God to have said to her through the Spirit, just get on with it. So that was after the first day. After the second day, we had a plan. Both sessions have seen this plan. And so it's time now just to let the congregations know about the plan. And there's three parts. There's a six-month plan. So the only thing we're going to really achieve in the 6 months is the Stevenson Convention, where, again, at the end of October, we'll have three nights with a speaker and we'll worship between here and Ardeer and invite people in from around and focus on that. So that would be something that would be achieved. It will involve people from the congregations and planning that, putting that together. The next bit, which is something we start working on, is positive worshipping communities. So we build up the community of worshipping community. That means just on a Sunday morning? No, it doesn't mean just on a Sunday morning. It might mean at other times. But we work and build people up. We look at the gifts and the talents that they've been given by God, the gifts of the Spirit that the Spirit has given as well. We'll look at that later in the next few weeks. But it's very much a part of the point in this next one about missional communities. It's not just about a Sunday morning. The missional community can be anywhere. It meets at another time. It can be around anything. The example we were given was with one of the leaders there who actually liked to play football. And he built a football team around him. A group of people who all wanted to play football. They joined together, they met together, they played football together, but they also then ate together and spoke about God together and built up a community. Now you'll understand, I will not be building up a football team around me. That's not my gifting. But that's the example. That's the example. That's how we would look at it and how we would think it happening. And all these things take much longer to do. These are things that set in place now. And in the first 6 months, all we're doing is tracking the preparation. But these things go beyond the 6 months. They go beyond the next 12 months. They go beyond the next 2 years. They go beyond the next 3 years. But it's not just about a Sunday morning. And these things can happen not just in the church. The reality is that this missional community way is not just about establishing something in where there are church buildings, but can be used to plant churches. So where there is no church building. So don't rely on having to have a church building for these. But actually, we have church buildings and we need to look at these assets. That's the plan. Brian will be involved in that plan. That's part of what he's doing. He's the community mission worker. So he has very much a point in this plan. This plan is for both congregations, and it's about building both congregations together, because we cannot forget that the presbytery plan says a union. So that's how we're heading towards that. And in these days, it's vital to focus on the Holy Spirit. What is it the Holy Spirit is telling us to do? What is he guiding us? How is he guiding us? Building up in prayer. Building up amongst each other. And that's how we'll look at all that. But let's go back to these verses in Jude. Jude's a very complex letter. It's a short letter, 25 verses. We're only looking at the last few. We're going to look at the rest of it at the end of June. Jude's letter is a letter of warning. It's warning about false teachers. It's warning about false teaching. It's warning about heresy. It's warning about how the church gets watered down. But also, these last verses are a call to persevere, a call to dig in and to appreciate who God is and to appreciate who the Holy Spirit is within that. Speaks about scoffers. That they follow their own ungodly desires, that they will divide. They follow their own natural instincts. And crucially, we're told that they do not have the Spirit. These are people that are within the church of the time. They're following their own ungodly desires. They will divide. That's what they're sent out to do. Remember I said at the start, Spirit, we're speaking supernatural. When we speak Spirit, we need to speak that other spirit, the evil one, Satan, who wants to stop us doing what God wants us to do. So they follow their own ungodly desires. They will divide. They follow their own mere natural instincts, and they don't have the Spirit. So they're either not believers, or they're people who have denied the Spirit, have put the Spirit aside. So this letter says, this is what we're up against. This is what we're up against. But you know, we've got so much. We've got everything that we ever need. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. The faith that Jesus Christ died for us, rose again, took our sins, brought forgiveness, gives us eternal life, ascended to be with the Father and will come again to rule and reign over the world. The most holy faith. Praying, keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep asking the Spirit, what is it you want us to do? Keep praying in that Spirit. Keeping in God's love, that's the focus for us. Keeping in God's love, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And these last words, be merciful to those who doubt. Show grace, compassion, mercy to those who doubt. Share with them that most holy faith. Enable them to pray in the Holy Spirit. Save others by snatching them from the fire. There are others who are heading for the fire because they don't know the faith. They don't know who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But actually, we'll be able to snatch them from the fire by being in the Holy Spirit. Show mercy mixed with fear. hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Here's the hard bit. There are some we won't be able to save. There are some we will not be able to save. And so I have to have discernment. Discernment comes through the Holy Spirit. But there's a point where we too can be corrupted, contaminated by their clothing, stained by corrupted flesh. So there's a warning for us as well. And that's why we have to stay within the Holy Spirit. That's why we focus on that most holy faith, because that's what leads and guides us. I have to tell you that this year has been a year of almost daily change, particularly in the last few months. This year has already shown that there's a lot of things happening around here. And this year, by what we've seen happen, has brought a new day, a new life. I believe the Holy Spirit's here, and I believe he's sweeping through. When we look at Pentecost, and the Spirit comes in with flames, and he changes, and he fills people, and they speak in different voices, different tongues. But he makes a difference in people's lives. I believe he's here. I believe he is working here. And I believe he's bringing changes. That invitational theology brings challenge with it, and it brings change. We might not like the change, but actually we need to work with the Holy Spirit, for that's what we are called to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're concerned for the salvation, the restoration of the whole of creation. In the kingdom of your Son, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, Eden restored. As your people called and filled with your Holy Spirit, enable us in turn to be concerned enough to go, to love, to proclaim and to care for this world you love so much. Christ died in order to save. Amen. Reminder that after the blessing, there'll not be the threefold amen. There will be the line, I'll say it, and all God's people said, and we all respond, amen. And then we'll go straight into peace to you. And that's the time to share the peace. To have a look around, smile. Look, smile, wave. Afterwards, hug, kiss. However you feel comfortable sharing the peace. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Let's worship.
Thank you.
Almighty God, go with us on our journey. By your Spirit, revive us when we weary. Direct us when we go astray. Inspire us when we lose heart. Reprove us when we turn back. Keep us travelling ever onwards, a pilgrim people, looking to Jesus Christ, who has run the race before and who waits to welcome us home. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.